Jesus is calling my name. 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 Somebody's calling my name. Somebody's calling my name. Somebody's calling my name. Somebody's calling my name.
Our reading today is from the first chapter of Mark. The good news of Jesus the Anointed begins with something Isaiah the prophet wrote. Here is my messenger who I'm sent on ahead of you to prepare your way. A voice of someone shouting in the desert, make ready the way of the Lord, make his path straight. So John the Baptizer appeared in the desert, calling for baptism and a change of heart that leads to forgiveness of sins. And everyone from the Judean countryside and all the residents of Jerusalem streamed out to him and got baptized by him in the Jordan River, admitting their sins. And John wore a mantle made of camel hair and had a leather belt around his waist and lived on grasshoppers and wild honey. And he began his proclamation by saying, someone more powerful than I will succeed me, whose sandal straps I am not fit to bend down and untie. I have been baptizing you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And during the same period, Jesus came from Nazareth, Galilee, and was baptized in the Jordan by John. And right away, as he got up out of the water, he saw the skies torn open and the Spirit coming down towards him like a dove. There was also a voice from the skies, you are my son, the one I love. I fully approve of you. And right away, the Spirit drives him out into the desert. And he was in the desert for 40 days being put to the test by Satan. And he was among the wild animals. And the heavenly messengers looked after him. After John was turned in, Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming God's good news. His message went, the time is up. The empire of God is arriving. Change your ways and put your trust in the good news. The second reading is The Dove, Leonard Cohen. I saw the dove come down, the dove with the green twig, the childish dove out of the storm and flood. It came toward me in the style of the Holy Spirit descending. I had been sitting in a cafe for 25 years waiting for this vision. It hovered over the great quarrel. I surrendered to the iron laws of the moral universe, which makes a boredom out of everything else. Do not surrender, said the dove. I have come to make a nest in your shoe. I want your step to be light.
If you go to the webpage and it says staff, and you can read about the various staff at Southminster, and under my thing it says one of my favorite Sundays is Evolution Sunday, which is Darwin's birthday. And that's kind of true. But actually, there's a Sunday that I really like, and that's Baptism of the Lord Sunday. That's actually today. It's a Sunday that kind of is a wonderful centering Sunday. And it's also right near the beginning of the year, which is today. And as I mentioned at the beginning of the service, I'm going to be going for a few days out into the wilderness. But I am going to go to kind of plan the services, and as I've been thinking about that and thinking about what to do and what to say, and kind of getting feedback and getting to know you a little bit. And one of the things that I got in some feedback, like with the survey and whatnot, is we want to know more about you, John. You're good with all of the intellectual and the bookish stuff. And we did read the Bible through cover to cover, and that's a bit bookish. So I thought, okay, I will, but do you really know what you're asking for? Because my personal story is not that it's any worse than anybody else's, or better, or any different. It's just that it's as an abyss in it. 5 years ago, I lost my son to suicide, and I know, and that was before you, and you don't know that story. You don't know him, but it's here. He was 25 years old, and he took his own life. So how do you relate to that? So everything that I do, and I'm not making an excuse for it, but everything I see, everything I say is colored by that experience. And part of that is, what kind of a parent am I? What kind of a minister am I? And those questions are there. And sometimes I go to the abyss, and I look right in it. And you should know this, just because it's good information to know, that those who are most risk of suicide are those who have lost a relative to suicide. So I go to the abyss, because that's there. And I'm happy to say, I'm lucky to say, I'm alive today. I had a friend of mine who she became a friend after I did an interview with her. She has agoraphobia. She never leaves her house. She is lesbian, and growing up in Appalachia in the Bible Belt and all of that that came through that. And she has some other mental health struggles. But she says, and I remember going down to the river, and I was ready to take my life, and I had a revelation. And this revelation was that you don't have to do it today. You don't have to do it. I mean, you can do it tomorrow. But you can't, you know, if you already do it today, you can't, don't have that choice tomorrow. So that was how she survived. And sometimes that's what life is like. This is from The Big Lebowski. You know this film? Well, this is the final scene. I'm not going to go through the whole scene of the thing, but the line in there is, the dude abides. And sometimes that's what hope is. I had a church member from my first church, Betty and John, and they both passed away this past year. They were in their 90s, but John was on the PNC when I came to that first church, my first church. And they were really pillars of the congregation as well as of the community. They had probably been members. I think John grew up in that church. He was a member for 90 years, I guess. But they were, at that time, I think when I was there, probably 50 years of membership. And she talked about, you know, the church. She says, oh, yeah, we've been through a lot. And she said to me, that the previous minister, she says, well, I didn't like him much, but he helped other people. You know, I abide. And I thought, yeah, that's what it means, in part, to live within community, is to abide with ups and downs, with strikes and gutters, with life as it is, and life as it can be. Today, as I mentioned, is Baptism of the Lord Sunday, and I was baptized 3 times. How many of you have been baptized? Yeah, I don't do a lot of baptisms here. I think it's gone out of vogue. But I think it's a good thing. I remember when I said I was baptized 3 times to the minister when I was going to go become a Presbyterian minister, and I was kind of scolded about that because, you know, Presbyterians, you're only baptized once. And it's a big deal. I remember we had ordination questions about being baptized once, and people want to come for another baptism, you can't give it to them. And I always thought, well, I didn't always think. I used to follow the rules. But then I thought, you know, why not? I mean, if it's something that's powerful and meaningful, and I thought, well, gosh, I've been baptized. I was baptized as a little baby. I didn't know any better. I was baptized when I was 8, when I was Assembly of God Church. And then when I was 12, we went to the Southern Baptist Church. And we all got baptized again, whether we needed it or not. But I think baptism is a powerful symbol, and it means, and it's a lot of things. So you find John in the wilderness offering a baptism of forgiveness of sins. And people would go and they'd be baptized. And so I think I could use that baptism. Maybe you could too. And so I'll confess, part of, and I'm not going to call credit it, but part, just confess the sense of which been more present to you than, not been as present to you as I might have been. And that's true. Probably there's one thing since Zach's death has made me more impatient, especially for things I think are trivial. And I'm not saying that's a virtue, it isn't, but it sometimes when people worry about things that are really, I think, kind of small, it's like, dang, let me take you to the abyss. And I don't mean it that way, but that's where it comes. And so I apologize if I have done that to you. There's another aspect of baptism. So it's forgiveness of sins, and we could all probably get that again. But it's also a baptism of belonging. We are baptized and we recognize that we belong on this earth, or we belong in this congregation, we belong in this body, we belong in relationship with one another. The voice comes out of the heaven and says, "You are my beloved." And that's what we often need to hear so much. Martin Luther, the Protestant Reformation leader, said whenever he had self-doubts, he'd go back and say, and he'd remember his baptism. He would remember that despite his own shortcomings or his own doubts or his own insecurities or whatever it might be, he remembered who he was because the baptism itself reminded him of that. And so that's one thing where we could all be rebaptized again or remember our baptism, is that we belong here. We belong to this life, to this earth, to this family, to this community, to God, however we understand God. And then the last part of that was that John says that I baptize you with water, but one is coming who will baptize you with spirit. And I've always wondered really what that meant. But I do know that spirit certainly is not static. It's not a bird in a cage. It's a bird that's on the move. And I'm very pleased that our baptismal font is a bird bath. Because this is how I understand the life of the church. You can think of the church or of faith or of doctrine or of anything as a bird cage. In other words, you aren't to leave it, you know. It's the cage of belief. Or you can think of it as a bird bath where you come in and splash around and get refreshed and then with the wings of spirit fly off again. And so I think of that part, and that's more mysterious, because and that's not as nailed down. When we're baptized, as Jesus talked about, or as John talked about Jesus being baptized in the Spirit, it's baptized into a movement. It's something that's fluid. It's something that's a verb. It's something that's moving, and it's not something that one person defines for anybody else, but witnesses to. That's it. It points to. It says, this happened. And Jesus is pointing around and he's saying, the empire of God, the kingdom of God, this realm of justice and peace, he's pointing to that. And it's here, and we can participate in it. And for me, again, going back to my son, if there's something that keeps me going, is to realize that life is like that, and it can change in a second. And so I really have this time to live the way I am called to live, invited to live. And so that's why I find the baptism, and I find the traditions of the church and the historical Jesus and all that stuff I talk about personal, that it matters, that there is something that is calling me in my own personal life and in my collective life to live for. And that's really what I wanted to say. And it's rather random, but losing, in my case, a son, puts everything else on a lower plane. And I'm not saying that as an excuse or saying that's a virtue, because sometimes that's just a numbing way to get through. But there's also a cool part of it too, which is odd to say, but that is, you don't have to be afraid of much, because nobody's going to do worse to you than that. So you can do anything you really are called to do, and know that whatever happens, it'll be okay. And whatever happens, you'll be able to, in the words of Lebowski, be able to abide. Because that's perhaps the biggest hope of all, isn't to solve the world's problems or to figure it all out or even our own, but to be able to abide through them. And that itself is a great victory.